Well, I'm going to continue with the theme of the day, which is love. The title of my sermon today is How to Love, and I was sharing with the people that I was sitting at breakfast with this morning that I don't know if it was the preparation for the wedding or what, but God's timing is good because right in the line with Romans, where we've been living for a while, is Romans 12, 9, and 10, which talks about love, and so that's where we're going to be at today. And I was thinking this morning about a conversation that I had with Daniel yesterday after the wedding. We sat on the pew right outside of the church office, and we talked for about 15 or 20 minutes about love. And Daniel has a very deep understanding of love, very deep understanding. Probably one of the best grasps of love that I've ever been able to experience. And so as we got to talking, he said, you know, my favorite part of the wedding is when they said, I do. Because those two little words carry so much meaning. And then he goes on to say about the words I love you and how those three words get misused so much, but how important it is to really understand what they mean. And he even went so far as to say we won't truly understand what they mean until we get to heaven, till we get to see Jesus face to face, and then all the other loves that we've ever had will pale in comparison to the love that we feel in that moment. And so I thought, man, what a great understanding of love. And I mean, he was just overwhelmed with emotions yesterday. And, he was getting a little teary-eyed as he was talking. And he just said, I'm so emotional, but it's a good emotion. And I said, well, that's love, Daniel. And he says, yeah, that's love. So we're going to talk about love today. In a survey of 4 to 8-year-olds, kids shared their view on love. So what do little kids say about love? Well, one said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. One says, love is when you go out and eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad but you don't yell at him because you know it would hurt his feelings. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Love is when you tell a guy that you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Love is if you hold hands and sit beside each other in the cafeteria. That means you're in love. Otherwise, you can sit across from each other and be okay. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Robert Redbird. I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all of her old clothes and she has to go out and buy new ones. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. And I think if we were to ask everybody here, we would all have our own definition of what love is. But I think the best definition of love comes from God. And so that's what we're going to look at today. If you would turn to Romans 12, 9 and 10, we'll read what Paul writes from his interpretation of the Holy Spirit on love. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Pretty simple and yet very difficult to live out. And so I want to look at some other passages on love today that kind of go with our theme and with the theme of the weekend, having done the wedding and all. My first wedding, by the way. I was really nervous. But I'm glad Cynthia was there to kind of coach me along, and I think it turned out really good. So, but the first thing that we need to turn to is the love chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 13. And we learn that love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 say, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Back in New York, a man opened a delicatessen on a block that boasted two other salami salons. So there's three delicatessens on the block. One of them had the tagline, finest in the world. The other one said, best in the universe. So they were trying to outdo each other, boasting. And the last one just put up a sign that said, nicest in the neighborhood. And that should be our goal. We should strive to be the nicest in our neighborhood. We shouldn't boast about how great we are. We should live by example. And that's what the scriptures teach us about love. It doesn't matter how much we talk about how loving we are. It doesn't matter how much we tell people how nice we are, because they're not going to listen to our words. They're going to look at our actions. And as Christians, we should always be exemplifying the love of Christ to one another. Love is kind. Love does kind things for others. Love is thoughtful of others. Frederick Faber once wrote, "Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning." You really want to share Jesus Christ with someone? Be kind to them. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you've memorized. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how great of a speaker you are, whether you can wax eloquently or not. What matters is your heart and how you show that heart to other people, how you love them, how you care for them, how you understand their needs, their hurts, their desires, and how you just genuinely care for where they are in life. Why does kindness do so much good in this world? Because it's a matter of action. It's something we do. We don't talk about being kind. We just are kind. We've always heard it said that actions speak louder than words. And actions speak louder than a lot of other things, too. So the next time we have the opportunity to exemplify kindness to someone, just think about, this could be the opportunity to show Jesus Christ to this person. Maybe the only chance that they've had that day, that week, that month, even that year, to experience the love of Christ. The Chicago Bears coach Lovey Smith said, "God is the center of my life. He controls all that I do, and I hope I don't have to spend my time telling my players that I'm a Christian. I hope they see it in my life every day." And whether or not you're a Chicago Bears fan or not, you really have to respect that. I mean, we can wear the Christian t-shirts, we can listen to the Christian radio stations, but when it comes down to it, how are we living our lives? Are we exemplifying the love of Christ to one another? Are we living out being the bride of Christ, as Rick pointed to earlier? When preacher Dwight Moody was in New York one time, he was helped considerably by R.K. Remington. And when Moody was leaving on the train, he grasped his friend by the hand and said, "If you ever come to Chicago, call me, and I'll try to return your kindness." Mr. Remington replied to Moody, saying, "Don't wait for me. Do it for the first man that comes along." Oftentimes when somebody's kind to us, we don't get the opportunity to return the favor, but that doesn't mean we can't start that cycle in someone else's life. We don't have to wait for somebody to do something nice for us in order for us to be kind to them. Let us take the first step. That's what God calls us to do, to reach out and help our fellow man, to love God first and then love others as we would love ourselves. Titus 3, 1 and 2 says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always tries to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Remember that love is kind. It doesn't matter how somebody treats us. Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek. Not to try to seek revenge, not to speak negatively about other people, whether in front of us or behind their back. My mom used to tell me, if I didn't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I would take that into action as well. If you don't have anything kind to do, then just don't do anything. Because we really, truly, as Christians, are called to share the love of Christ. And that should happen in our words, in our thoughts, and in our actions. The next thing about love is giving. In 2 Corinthians 8, 6 through 8, it says, "So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others." So Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, you guys are excelling in all of these things. In your faith, you believe everything that the gospel teaches. You are model Christians. But something that I want you to excel in even more than anything is the love of giving. And he's talking literally about money, resources, finances. Why is this hard for us? This is a sign of love. Paul points it out. A sign of love is to be willing to give to other people. There's a couple of reasons, and I think one is humans naturally, innately, through our flesh, we're selfish. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are. We think, well, I worked for this money, and I'm going to get the things that I want with it first. And then another thing is that we're scared, because we think if we give away our resources and our finances, how are we going to take care of our needs? We may think, this is my money and I will use it for me. Or we may think, how will I live? But we need to remember that this very important phrase, that God so loved the world that he gave. This is the example of love. He didn't give money. He gave his most precious resource. He gave his only son. He's the motivation for our giving. God is. Because he gave everything he had. If we love people, we'll give to them in order to help them. A father once gave his little boy a dollar and told him that he might do with it as he pleased. Later, when the dad asked the little boy about it, he says, I lent it. And the dad said, did you get good security? And he said, yes, sir. The boy said, I gave it to a poor beggar who looked hungry. Oh, how foolish you are, said the father. You'll never get it back. And the little boy said, but father, I have the best security. For the Bible says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Which is from Proverbs 19. See, we might think that there's times where we give, and we know that we're never going to see that return to us monetarily. But Scripture tells us over and over and over again that this is storing up treasures in heaven beyond our wildest dreams. God wants us to share our love through the things that he blesses us with. Some of us are blessed with finances. Others of us are blessed with gifts and abilities. Others of us are blessed with compassion, with extra portions of love to be able to share. I mean, God blesses us each individually with certain things. And they're not to hoard to ourselves. They're to use to expand his kingdom and to share his love with other people. Sometimes it's not how much we give, but the fact that we are willing to give it all that exemplifies our love for God and for others. The third thing is that love is forgiving. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 8, 1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love is a builder of people. If we love one another, we're not going to tear each other down, even in the midst of a mistake. All throughout Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, the story is redemption. The story is to redeem God's people to what it once was. And if God's desire is for us to be redeemed, then our desire for one another should also be redemption. Not to point out mistakes without correction, but to help one another get back on track, to get back to that place that we were before and even beyond. Love is a builder of people. But do you know what the world thinks about the church? It doesn't think that we're builders of people. Their criticism in regards to Christians is that we're too rigid, too judgmental, too legalistic, too harsh, too critical. The list can go on and on. The Church of Jesus Christ is becoming another political party. We as Christians are known more for what we're against than what we're for. And we spend so much time commenting and complaining about the things that have nothing to do with the gospel that people are getting confused about just what it is we stand for. God says, love me and love people. It's that simple. Here's what we should be known for. John 13:35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It doesn't say speak out loudly for what you're against, to hold picket signs, to do lockouts or lock-ins or whatever. It says to love one another. If we love like this, no amount of picketing, no amount of lobbying, no amount of political involvement can compare to the message that we send to the world. Our actions will speak so much louder than anyone's words. The world should witness our love for one another. Instead of our holding grudges, instead of our proclaiming what it is that we don't believe in, what we don't agree with. When people see this kind of action and behavior in the church, they will be drawn to Jesus. When I share my passion and my vision for this church to be a light for this community, for this area, that's what I see. The light is the love of Christ. And when we live out this kind of love, people will be drawn to Jesus. When our goal is not to have them sit in these pews, but to sit at the foot of the cross, that's when we'll know that we're on God's mission. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrates his love for us now and forever, because Jesus Christ handled the work of the cross once and for all. Someone once wrote, "Among the first glimpses we get of our God is that of a seeker. Adam, where art thou?" From Genesis 3:9. And in commenting on this question to his Bible class, a teacher said, "You can never be a preacher if you read it as though God were a policeman. Read it instead as though God were a broken-hearted father looking for his lost child." God is our Father, and he is compassionate, and he is loving. He's not looking to bust us for the latest sin that we committed. He's not looking to strike us with lightning for that random thought that went through our head. He's looking to redeem us, to build us up, to forgive us, to give to us, to lend a kind, compassionate blessing into our life. He is our example of love. And if we follow that example, we can't help but draw other people to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful this morning for the love that you have for us. Lord, I pray when we seek to love other people, we look to you as our example. I was told a long time ago that to measure whether or not my love is up to par, to take that 1 Corinthians 13 chapter and replace the word love with my name. And if I can't say that those sentences are true, then I've got some work to do. So Lord, I pray that as you continue to work in our lives, that we all can come to a point where we can put our name in place of that word love in that chapter. And that we can say with truth that we are those things. That we are patient, that we are kind, that we don't boast, that we don't seek evil. Lord, help us to live out the love that you've displayed for us time and again. It's so easy sounding when we say that you call us just to love you and love people. But as Daniel reminded me yesterday, love is a very heavy word, which carries a lot of meaning. Help us to sift through the things that the world tells us that love is, and to find the truth deep inside. That love is sacrificial. That we move ourselves out of the way. Lord, I thank you so much for your love. May we be models of it in this world. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.